I've been noticing all throughout this service that there was actually a pretty nice theme going on. I don't know if you all noticed this, but Dan, he talked about proclamation. The song we just sang was a proclamation, and my sermon is actually about proclaiming the gospel. If you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles over to 2 Kings chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7, we have a pretty interesting story over here. A little bit of context. In the period of Israel's history, you know, after they split Israel up here, Judah down low, during the divided kingdom, both were weakened, and both countries, Israel and Judah, were susceptible to attacks from nearby attacks like the Syrians, Moabites, and the Ammonites, or people from afar like Assyria and Babylon. And we have a story of a siege here in 2 Kings. We're going to actually start in chapter 6. Look at verse 24. 2 Kings 6, verse 24. Afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria as they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and the fourth part of a cob of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Now, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" And the king asked her, "What is your trouble?" She answered, This woman said to me, "Give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and ate him, and on the next day I said to her, "Give your son that we may eat him," but she has hidden her son. When the king heard the words of this woman, he tore his clothes, and as he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath on his body. This is a pretty awful scenario that's happening here. There's a famine going on, and, you know, a donkey's head going for 80 shekels of silver. I don't know how many people eat the actual head of an animal here today. I mean, I think, TC, you did one time. We went someplace, and you got like, cow face stew or something like that. I don't know. But I don't really feel like eating a donkey's head, but that's what people are selling for. We even see that people are eating their own children. This famine is bad. And the Syrians have taken over. We got this awful situation. Then we jump down to chapter 7. Let's start again in verse 3. 2 Kings 7, verse 3. Now there were 4 men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and they said to one another, Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, "Let us enter the city," the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, but when they had come to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, and the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us to the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went to a tent and ate and drank, and they carried off silver and gold, and clothing went and hid them. And when they came back, they entered in another tent and carried off things from it and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." So there's a siege going on, orchestrated by Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, which brought this terrible famine. And we are introduced to these 4 lepers, and they're discussing their options. Obviously, you know, if people are resorting to eating face meat off of animals and children, they're probably doing even worse because they're outside the city and they're lepers. So they decide, you know what, we're going to go to the Syrians. We're going to surrender, and, you know, if they kill us, then so be it. You know, we're going to die anyway here, but if we live, then, hey, we're still alive, and that's good. So They go to the Syrian camp. You know, this is probably a pretty hard decision. They get there, and they find it completely abandoned. Woohoo! Free food, free money, free clothes, everything. They're rolling in it. They got everything. Then after they get through the second tent, they're like, this isn't right. There's a whole town of people, a whole country of people of Israel suffering. And here we are living like kings. And there's a valuable lesson that we learn from these lepers, especially as they say in verse 9, this day is a day of good news. So as we go through our sermon here in just these short few minutes, I want to draw some parallels between these lepers and ourselves right now. And we're going to look at the consequences of actually keeping silent when we have good news to share. And we're going to even look at a few reasons why people are keeping silent today. So let's begin with some parallels between then and now. In each case, we have a famine. You might be thinking, Joe, there's not a famine right now. We can go to the grocery store. There's food there. Well, for them, it was a famine of food. Now it's a famine for the blessings only God can provide. Our famine is related to the problem of sin. Let's turn over to Romans. Keep a marker there in 2 Kings, but turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, we're going to look at verse 23. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory for God. Only God provides salvation. We see all people all around the world today. We all have magic little boxes that tell us everything that's going on in the world. We can see sin. Everybody has sinned. Only God can provide salvation. Turn over a few chapters to Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 23. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God provides this free gift of salvation. So there's one parallel. There's a famine. In each case, there is an abundance freely available. Back then, there was a lot of food, a lot of money, a lot of clothes, a lot of supplies that the people of Israel needed. Now, there are spiritual blessings abundant in Christ. As we just read there in Romans 6, keep that in mind as we turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We can even read more examples of blessings in places like Revelation 22, there in verse 17. We are blessed so abundantly, like these lepers were. They stumbled upon it freely, just like we have it freely from God. And in each case, we found what we needed, and the lepers found what they needed. I mean, think about all the blessings that we experience every day, just being Christians. But here's where the similarity often ends. We got a lot of things that's, you know, these lepers knew what was right and did what was right. They said, today is a day of good news. Let us go tell the king, lest something happen to us. They knew it was wrong to keep silent this good news that they had freely given to them. And they knew that there would be punishment if they did not go and tell the good news to everyone. So they did what was right. They returned to the city and told the good news to everyone. Many Christians today are not like these lepers. Despite being a day of good news every day, we remain silent. While many are dying of spiritual starvation, the lack of God being in their lives, some of us just may feed on the gospel and not care to tell others. I think that's kind of wrong, don't you? You consider that wrong if we're here feasting on God and, you know, we're full, we got all we need, and we just go home and don't tell anybody? We keep it hidden to ourselves? That's wrong. So, what's a lesson that we can learn from these lepers? They said to themselves initially, which may be true of us, what we are doing, we are not doing what is right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. For us, some of y'all, that might be true. It's like, this is a day of good news, yeah? But we keep silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. That is a true statement. In reasoning among themselves, they consider the consequences of keeping silent on a day of good news. So let's consider the effects of keeping quiet with the good news of the gospel. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, here we have a command by Jesus. Most of us probably know this, could probably quote it. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus wanted his disciples to observe all that he commanded. This includes the command that he says right there to go and make disciples. Keeping silent is not what Jesus commanded. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Sometimes we fail our mission as the people of God. As the privileged people of God who are abundant in blessings, we are to proclaim the praises of God. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We need to apply this into our lives, especially the part there where it says, God called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and how we who have not obtained mercy have received his mercy. It's a gift that was freely given to us that we need to share to others. So how can God's own special people do this while keeping silent? It doesn't say there, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may keep silent in your own homes and read the Bible every day and pray." You are to proclaim the word that we have. We will answer to God if we fail our mission. Our mission is to spread the word. Just as God told Ezekiel, whom he made to be a watchman for the house of Israel. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, it's okay if you need to sing a little song to find it, or the look in the front page of your book, it's fine, I had to sing it too. Ezekiel 3, look at verse 17. Ezekiel was to warn the wicked. Ezekiel 3:17, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me." Ezekiel was to warn the wicked. Jump down. Well, just look at the next verse there in verse 18. "If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you have not warned him. He shall die for his sins, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. If Ezekiel failed to warn the wicked would die for their own sin, but Ezekiel would also be held accountable. When you really think about that, that's scary for us. Because we, you know, we've been baptized, you know, we got ourselves taken care of, but we see all these people all around us, you know, our coworkers, you know, family. We see them in their wicked ways, but we say nothing. Who's accountable? Me. We are to take the gospel to every person. We, the church, is God's watchman to the world. Turn over to Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Those who have not heard this good word will die in their sin, but we will be held accountable if we give them no warning. Now, I'm not talking about the person way over in another country that you've never met. I'm talking about the persons in your life right here and now. I'm sure you're all thinking of somebody. There's somebody in your life that you will be held accountable for as long as you don't warn them. Despite the consequences of keeping silent, many Christians do not tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. So why is this so? So here are some possibilities. I know we have our own reasons. I've hit on this in the past. But for some, they may be starving themselves. They may have experienced the joy of salvation in the past, but through negligence, they have failed to grow and have forgotten the blessings of salvation. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verses 8 and 9. 2 Peter 1, 8 and 9. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. In a real sense, many Christians have returned to a state of spiritual famine by choice. Therefore, they have little or nothing to share with others. If this is you today, I would encourage you, spend more time reading your Bible. Spend more time in prayer. Enjoy the blessings of salvation. Because if you do that, you will want to tell others. Even as David did in Psalm 32. Turn back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Just going to read a little bit here. We're not going to read the whole thing. Psalm 32, starting in verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You can keep reading on there, and you can see how David enjoyed the blessings of being saved. We can see how Philip reacted when he found Jesus. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, look at verse 43. John 1, 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. There are so many blessings that if you just read the scriptures, you will see in your own life. For some people, it may be out of fear or discouragement. If fear keeps us silent, remember that first place in the list of those co-signed in the lake of fire are the cowardly in Revelation 21, those who are afraid. God does not want us to be fearful. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 and 8. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. This is one of the blessings that you will get if you read the scriptures. You will understand that we don't have a spirit of fear. Now, I will say, you know, I've been a Christian for 11 years now. I still hate spiders. It doesn't necessarily apply to little bugs, you know, that. But the fear of humans hurting you, it doesn't matter. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. And also, maybe, you know, it may not necessarily be a fear of humans hurting you or saying something against you. You may just not have enough confidence in yourself. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 29. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. If you don't have enough confidence in yourself, which I understand, because you can ask Mom, when I was younger, I did not like getting up in front of people, and I didn't have enough confidence to. Every time before I get up here, I say a prayer. I say a prayer that I say the right thing. I say that whatever I have to say will help one of you. Not because, you know, I don't have enough confidence in myself, but I have confidence in God that something I say can help one of you. Pray for boldness. And if discouragement keeps you silent, remember the principle of sowing and reaping in Galatians 6, verse 9. And we have the example of our Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm sure Jesus was a little discouraged. I'm sure maybe disheartened as he understood that, you know, he was going to have to die on the cross, you know, sweating drops of blood. I think that's pretty discouraging. Yet he did it through prayer, through God. Fear and discouragement, as problematic as they may be, they are overcome with faith and perseverance through God. For many, spreading the word, keeping silent, it may be the idea that it's just too complicated. It's too complicated. I can't sit down. I can't explain every little detail. Many people think that you have to have a master's degree in interpersonal communication, 4 years of Bible college, or some other specialized training to spread the word. I tell you what, right now, in my entire years of schooling, I've only ever had one speech class, and that's it. You don't need to know everything about how to speak to people or how to communicate, you know, emotions and this kind of stuff. God takes care of that kind of stuff. He knows where to prick somebody in the heart. In reality, our task is quite simple. It's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Mark 16, verse 15, like we read before, to every creature. And it can be presented in the simplest of terms. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's all you need to explain to somebody. Jesus came here for you. He lived a sinless life. He died and he was raised again so that way you can be set free. I mean, we can go through all of Acts. And we can see, you know, these long, elegant sermons by, you know, maybe Peter or Paul, that kind of stuff. But you understand, most of the time, people believe just after one time of hearing the gospel. We're not obligated to teach the non-Christian beyond the first principles, the simple core things. Only if they accept the simple things that Jesus was here, he died and raised again, will they be able to receive the second things, you know, the more difficult things. I mean, for example, why teach somebody about how the church is structured and this kind of stuff if they don't even really believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Your job is to teach the first principles. You can leave the second principles to those, you know, the preachers and the teachers. You can leave that to Todd and Brian and Dad and me, mostly them three. I'm just kind of the backup guy. But that's what they're here for. They're here to back you up. They're here to help you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. You all are to evangelize. Their job is to build up. All you got to say is come and see. We'll take care of the rest. Just come and see. Sharing the gospel is fairly easy if you can overcome whatever hurdle that is for you. It's fairly easy. If we just follow the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ as and the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. You need to give the Lord a special place in your heart. Prepare yourselves to be ready to give a defense for the hope that you have. Because one day, if it's not happened already, one day somebody's going to ask you why you believe what you believe, and you better know why you believe what you believe. You need to understand that you need to explain that Christ died for our sins and rose again. A good verse is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Make sure you write that one down. That will be helpful for you. We can also follow the words that Paul gave us in Colossians. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know, that verse there, verse 6, Mama, she would say that to me all the time when I would talk to Ben. Let your grace be seasoned with salt, mostly because I was a little too bossy. And so, you know, whenever I needed Ben's help for something, you know, I would be bossy and he wouldn't listen. I eventually kind of learned a little bit. I'm not there yet. Speaking nice to somebody does wonders. You ever heard the expression, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar? Speaking soft, tender words works. And don't forget to pray. Praying is the most important thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned each. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember why I put that verse in there. Go back to just remember, you just need to pray. Pray for opportunity. God will open up a door. It is the Lord who provides the opportunity, and he gives it to those who are prepared and praying. Pray for wisdom, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. James 1, 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. To make the most of the opportunity, to know what to say, the right thing, the right way, at the right time, you need to pray for wisdom. God will give it to you. I promise that. He'll give it to you. We need to pray for boldness. We need to have the courage to seek when the opportunity comes. Because you may be able to pray for wisdom, and you may be praying for opportunity, but as I said before, if you're not bold, how far are you going to get? We need to have the courage to speak when given the opportunity. We need to be able to say what people need to hear, not necessarily what they want to hear. We don't want to tickle no ears out there. If we are silent concerning the good news, the gospel, then the words of the four lepers are actually of us. We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell. Let us go out to the world and tell. Let us share what we have found with all your brothers and sisters here. Let us share what we have found in Jesus. Let us give them the experience, the joy, the peace, and the love that only God can give. Indeed, today is a day of good news, because it is a day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to read this verse. I've only got like two more verses left. 2 Corinthians 6, look at verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We who have been so richly blessed, who have stumbled upon that camp of gold and silver and food and clothing for free, we now have the responsibility that has been placed on us to go tell others. Revelation 2, 4 through 5, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. This sermon has been a great sermon about, not necessarily great. I don't want to boast about myself. It's a sermon for you all to take, and it's good to tell others about. But you cannot do so unless you are a part and you are in the right path. If you need to repent, right now is a perfect time. We're about to sing a song, number 21 in the supplement, On Bended Knee I Come. On bended knee. That's a spirit of repentance. I don't know how many of you remember this. If God's over here and you're like this, hiding yourself up, all you got to do is turn around and open yourself up to God. You can be immersed in the water grave of baptism, rise to walk a new life, and then And only then can you tell others about the grace and the gift of salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. If you need to be baptized or if you need any help from the congregation, why don't you do so right now as we stand and sing.